So now we're going to move into looking at God's word together. Roger is going to come and read for us, and then Pete is going to come and preach.
Good evening. Our reading is Psalm 71, and it can be found on page 584 in the Pew Bibles. It's also on the screen. Psalm 71, page 584. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Roger, and thank you for shouting. For those of you at the back who can't see it, I have a slogan on my t-shirt. It was bought deliberately for today. And it says this: it's weird being the same age as old people. I say that because when Will and Will very kindly asked me if I would preach today, and he said, I'd like you to preach on Psalm 71, and he referred to this verse: even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God. And I said, thank you. But I have also just had my 68th birthday. How did that happen? I'm young, thank you. But you know, the strange thing is that all through my life, as I've looked at people that are older than me, they've only been about 10, maybe 15 years older. Strangely, as I get older, it seems to get closer. But you know what? It is something to be embraced and not to be shunned. You see, the age I am now, my father had retired. Retirement was 65 back in those days, but he'd actually retired earlier. My father-in-law had retired. Are they trying to tell me something? Christine and I are still working. My father, being younger than 65, would probably still be seen sitting on a beach in his suit, possibly his tie slightly down and the top button just about undone. And guys, it's not a pretty sight, but a handkerchief on his head to stop the sun burning it. And he might just have taken his shoes off. He certainly would not be standing in front of you like I am now. In fact, he'd be horrified. But the thing is, how old is old? I don't know. And I say that, but as I look at this psalm and as I've read it more and more as I prepared for today, I've realized that this is almost a soundtrack for my life. A soundtrack that as I went through it, I could see different stages of my life and how God has taught me and led me in the way that I've gone through that time. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 to 7 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you give up." All through my life, I have longed that others would know who this Jesus is that I worship. I've got to tell you, though, it's not always been easy. Annabelle, you spoke of praying out of those bitter times, those struggle times. Proverbs is full of it. Psalms is full of it. Of psalmists and writers of Proverbs who are really brutally honest with God about how they feel. I can remember when I was a youth leader many, many years ago, and I gave a talk to the young people. In fact, I regularly gave this one. When you go to bed at night and when you pray, do you say, "Thank you, God, for a lovely day"? Because he's probably sitting up there and said, "No, it wasn't. It was a lousy day. I was there with you." Why is it that so often we're afraid of being honest with God about how we feel? The psalmist wasn't. The psalmist is very clear that there were struggles and there were times when really couldn't grasp what was going on. Can you testify to that? I can. God, what is going on? Why? What's this all about? And God just says, "Trust me." Yeah, but God, really? Remember the blessing song that went worldwide and it was signed and goodness knows what else? "The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations in your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you." This God that the psalmist speaks about and the God that we worship is one who is for us. He's one who wants everything to be in place for us, not to live an easy life, but for us to know that he walks with us and he's just there every step of the way. When just over 5 years ago, when Christine and I decided that we were resigning from the charity that we were working for and setting up something new. Many of you pray for us and support us in Count Everyone In. One of the most amazing times of our life, yet boy, was it not easy. How were we going to live? How were we going to pay for things? We didn't know where anything was coming from. But God was there beside us, behind us, in front of us, inside us. And he still is today. He still is today. Oh, well, there are times when I think, God, did you really know what was going to happen? He says, yes. Did I know what was going to happen? No. But all the time, he's been beside us and in front of us and behind us and within us. This psalm that we've been looking at tonight, or we are looking at, many commentators believe that this was a psalm of David. And in his prayer and his trust in God in his later years during the crisis of Absalom's, his son's, rebellion. But there's no title in this psalm, and we can only speculate whether or not it was written by David. The Baptist pastor and theologian Spurgeon says, what we do know is this. We have a prayer of an aged believer who has a holy confidence in faith, strengthened by experience, pleads against his enemies and asks further blessing for himself. On this basis, this psalm, as with all scripture, has lessons for us all. So if you're old tonight, this is for you. If you're young tonight, this is for you. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, this psalm has lessons for each and every one of us. But one thing I do know is this psalmist is not afraid of calling out to God. Of calling out and saying, I don't get this, I don't understand it, I'm struggling. But his hope in God does not waver. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God. Verse 9, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me. Verse 12, do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. And verse 13, may my accusers perish in shame. Over and over again, not just in this psalm, but throughout the psalms, there is that call to be saved. I need help, God. And God comes. He doesn't always come quite like we want him to. He doesn't always take the pain away. He doesn't always take those difficult things away. But he always comes. Beside me, behind me, in front of me, within me. He's always there. He never falters. The one who falters is me. The one who struggles is me. Because God, are you really there? And as I look back on my life, this psalm begins to remind me of so many things. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. And you go, really? Did you remember that? No, I didn't. I do not remember that. But what I do know and I believe when I look at scripture is that from the very point of conception, then my God was with me. Psalm 139 talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? It's what God's word says to each and every one of us. When we feel like we're in the bottom of a pit, he is still there. And he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Rejoice in it. Accept it. Many of my friends with a learning disability, when they get that verse, when they get what it means, the transformation in their lives is unbelievable, because for so often they've been told, you're not wanted, you don't fit in, you're not like us. Why are you different? And suddenly they realize that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each and every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, this is verse 17, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. I still remember in the days when I just about began to speak out about my faith and what it meant. Things had happened in my life. I'd always believed, but somehow it hadn't really rooted inside me. And in the small evangelical church that I was part of, some of the Bible class leaders said, Pete, we need somebody who's younger, who can come and be part of us young ones, who can come and be part of the team. It's okay, we're not going to ask you to do any of the teaching. They should have added yet on the end of that, but they didn't. We'd just like you to come along and be there when we go out on the field and we have games and all of that stuff. 3 weeks in, and it was, Pete, next Sunday, would you like to do the teaching? Me? Yes, you. And so I sat in front of these young people who knew more about the Bible than I ever knew. But I've been reading, I've been studying, I've been looking at what the Bible said. And very shakily, I stood in front of them and I shared what I'd learnt from Scripture to teach them. They were either very, very gracious, or I really did give them something that was worth having. Probably best, I never know. But it went on and on until I became the youth leader in the church. But it was through being willing to be faithful and listening to what God was saying and others around me that the experience showed me that when people asked me to do things, they meant it for a reason. And so I began to learn as I learned to teach them. And so God used that in a way to help me to catch up. To begin to be able to lead them to be men and women of God. What a privilege that is. So we move on. Verse 5. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Not me. When we prayed beforehand, I was asked what I wanted prayer for. Help. After all these years, 40 plus years of standing in front of people and preaching the Word of God, I still gut-wrenching at times, because I so want to do what God wants me to do, not what everybody else wants me to do. And so the pressure and the everything that wraps around that is so important. It's not me, it's him. And it always will be, because I cannot do it. The second part of verse 6, I will ever praise you. May I not stop praising this God, who is so great and mighty and powerful, and yet he still loves me. He still wants the relationship with me. He still wants me to share what he means to me with others. Oh Lord, may it ever be infectious. May it ever be something that others want to. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Hands up. Doesn't happen every day and all day long. But that's what I want. That's the place I want to be. Verse 14 and 15. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. There's a hope, but there's also a declaration of speaking those things out. Our eldest grandson was at the youth camp for Vineyard, because he's part of a Vineyard church. I've never known him say many words on WhatsApp, except hi, hello, how are you? We messaged him to say, how did the week go? And we got this great torrent. God's been amazing. God's been speaking to me. Four people prayed for me, all different, and they gave me the same word. I've got to get back to school and I've got to tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Doesn't happen with everyone. Why has it happened with us? But our children and our children's children are declaring the praises of the God who we worship. What does that mean for you? What does it mean for me in everyday life? So we're here again, verse 18. Even when I'm old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Declaration. This is my God. There's still a job to be done. There's still a job for you and for me to declare the wonders of our God. And those last few verses, a crescendo of praise and an asking for blessing. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. My God will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Wouldn't it be great if that was written on every single one of our gravestones? I'm morbid tonight, aren't I? My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. How many of you remember Billy Graham? Great evangelist. Billy Graham was battling Parkinson's disease when he was 92 years old. In January, a month before he turned his 93rd birthday, the Charlotte, North Carolina state drivers, they love these titles, don't they, in America, invited Billy Graham to a dinner in his honor. Billy was hesitant to accept the invitation at first because he was battling with Parkinson's. But Charlotte's leaders insisted, we're not expecting a big performance. Just come and let us honor you. That's why he said yes. After wonderful things were said about him, Dr. Graham stepped into the podium, looked out at the crowd and said, today, I remember Albert Einstein, the outstanding physicist who was named the man of the century by the Time magazine this month. One day, Einstein was on a train from Princeton when a conductor came down the aisle, recording each passenger's ticket. And as he approached Einstein, Einstein reached into his pocket and he couldn't find his ticket. So he reached into his pockets, all over, couldn't find it, looked under the seat, still couldn't see it. The conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you have bought a ticket. There's no need to worry about that." Einstein nodded his head in confirmation. The conductor kept moving down the aisle, and as he was about to embark into the next carriage, he turned and saw the great physicist on his knees under the seat trying to find his ticket. The conductor went back to him and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought it." "Look at him," Einstein said. "Young man, I also know who I am, but I really don't know where I'm going." Having said this, Billy Graham continued, "Can you see this suit that I'm wearing? This is a brand new suit. My children and grandchildren says I've got a little superficial in my old age. So I went and bought a new suit for dinner and another occasion. Do you know what this suit is? This is the suit I will be buried in. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to remember my suit right away. I want you to remember this. Not only do I know who I am, I also know where I'm going. May your problems be fewer, more blessings, and may nothing but happiness enter your door. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no meaning." May each of us live our lives so that when our tickets get through, we don't have to worry about where we're going. David knew that he belonged to God, if it was David that wrote that psalm. But the psalmist knew where he was going. He had a hope that was steadfast and true. And through all the troubles and difficulties that he went through, he knew that his hope was in God and that he would be with him one day. Psalm 75 is full of reference to life, birth and old age. It's full of joy and struggle. It's also full of understanding who God is and his worth of praise and worship. It also reminds us of a God to whom we can cry out in times of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Whatever our age, we can be sure of this. You and I, we have a Saviour who loves us and died for us. We can be sure that he has paid the price so that we can be free to love him back and to share his love with others. We can be sure that one day we shall be with him forever. We can be sure today that we can worship him in every circumstance. Why? Because our God is great.